Habakkuk 2, from verse 4 to verse 17. Except I'm missing out the last part of verse 4 and verse 14. And I'll look at those verses separately. Habakkuk 2, 4 to 17. God is replying to Habakkuk. This is his second reply. And he has opened his reply in chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. God is sovereign. His word will not fail. And in the previous discourse I spoke of this. I should have quoted Romans 9:6. The word of God has not failed. And now, moving on to verse 4, to verse 17. What does God say to Habakkuk by way of comfort and consolation and instruction? What's his answer to this man? Habakkuk has complained, cried out to God about the state of Judah. And of course, God is going to use Babylon. And yet Babylon, the Chaldeans, are even more wicked than Judah. And what is God's answer? He is sovereign. His purpose will ripen fast. His end, his purpose, will be accomplished. And what do we have here? Babylon's time is coming. Oh, Babylon, the Chaldeans, are riding high at the moment, says God. They're proud. They're exultant. They're victorious. They're all conquering. Look at verse 4. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright. Wine betrays him. He's drunk. He is arrogant and never at rest. He's as greedy as the grave. Like death, is never satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nations and takes captive all the peoples. He's riding high. He's striding across the world. He's strutting. He's all-powerful. Babylon is great and glorious and triumphant and boasting and bragging, drunk with power, drunk with victory, drunk with riches. But, and what a but, Babylon's time, says God, will come. Verses 7 to 8. Will not your debtors, rather creditors, suddenly arise? Will they not wake up and make you tremble? Then you will become their victim. Because you have plundered many nations, the peoples who are left will plunder you. For you have shed man's blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them, and therefore they will turn back upon you. Verses 16 to 17. You will be filled with shame instead of glory. Now it's your turn. Drink and be exposed. The cup from the Lord's right hand, the hand of power and sovereignty, the Lord's right hand is coming round to you. And disgrace will cover you. And disgrace will cover your glory. The violence you have done to Lebanon will overwhelm you. And your destruction of animals will terrify you. For you have shed man's blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Yes, Habakkuk, Babylon is mighty, is victorious, is triumphant, is striding over the world, is strutting. But I will bring her down. I've just been reading the early chapters of Ezekiel. God is sovereign there. Babylon is great and glorious, but it will fall. But God uses Babylon. God is sovereignly using Babylon to his purpose, even with Judah. And yet, in God's sovereign purpose, the time of woe is coming for Babylon. Five woes are in this passage. Verse 6, verse 9, verse 12, verse 15, and again in verse 19, outside my passage. Woe to him! Woe! Woe to him! Woe! For, because, now, read the words through in this passage. Because Babylon has done this, then now is their time. They will fall. God is saying it to Habakkuk. He's comforting Habakkuk. He's assuring Habakkuk. He's giving Habakkuk the confidence to speak. Write it down, he says, and spell it out. And how audacious it must have seemed. How mad it must have been to the people of those days. Little Judah here, this obscure prophet, writing these words about Great Babylon. Can you imagine? In 1940, Hitler having strutted across Austria, having strutted literally in Paris, done a little jig there, strutting across Poland, later on strutting across huge tracts of Russia and South East Europe. And yet, a little nobody like Habakkuk saying, Hitler's time will come. God will call him to account. History is truly his, God's story. God is sovereign. Babylon is responsible. But God is sovereign. God is using Babylon without being tainted by sin. These are mysteries, but this is the revelation. And we need revelation to help us to understand and explain these matters. 2 Peter 3. We live in the day of scoffers, don't we? Where is the promise of Christ coming? Where's all this coming then? He's told us he's coming. Where is it? You preach it. Where is it? But they laughed in the days of the flood, said Peter. They laughed in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. But the time did come. The day was appointed, and God brought it to pass. Now, these are historical things here that I'm speaking about. What's the application to us? Well, there is an application. I address, first of all, any listening to me who are yet unbelieving. You do not trust Christ. You're not relying upon him. And maybe you scoff and mock at these warnings. It is appointed unto men, unto you, my friend, once to die, and after this the judgment. God commands all men everywhere, and that's you, my friend, men and women, everywhere, to repent. He has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man that he's ordained. And he's given evidence of it, in that he has raised him from the dead. Well, the men at Athens, some of them laughed at that. Do you laugh at it? Do you mock it? I warn you, my friend, learn from Habakkuk. Learn from Babylon the Great. Remember in the history of the world how Babylon conquered the whole known world. And yet when she was at the zenith of her powers, God, through Habakkuk, could say, the time is coming. And of course the time did come. The Medes did come. And Babylon was reduced. Babylon was brought down. God knows how to subdue the kings of Babylon, the Nebuchadnezzars and the Belshazzars. The Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind. Belshazzar had to see the writing on the wall. Will you see the writing on the wall, my friend? Will you learn now? I speak to you in love for you. I won't raise my voice. I try to be calm about it. But I am passionate about it. Why will you perish? Repent and believe. Trust Christ now. Christ is coming again. The day of judgment is coming. Death is on the road. Pause. Think. Are you ready to meet God? Prepare to meet your God. So I plead with you. Trust Christ now. Now is the time. Learn from Habakkuk too. Be warned. And trust Christ while there is time. And now a word for you, my brother and my sister, and a word for me. A word of comfort and consolation, a word of instruction and explanation. Things look really grim, don't they? The world seems to ride high. The devil seems to be having power. And winning everywhere. But God is sovereignly in control. Islam will not conquer. Christ will reign. Christ is reigning. All power is given unto Christ. And the prophecies still stand. He will return. It may seem long. Though it tarry, verse 3, in my chapter here, chapter 2, verse 3, though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Christ is coming. Our hopes will not be unfounded. The world may be triumphant. Satan may be triumphant now. The whole world lies in his power and in his wickedness. But Christ will reign. Christ will reign. He does reign. He is reigning now. He will come again. And all will be well. May God bless this word to us. I was reading in the prophet Ezekiel, as I said. And I was told there by God, as Ezekiel was, that I must declare his word. I must warn the ungodly. And if I do warn the ungodly, I discharge my responsibility. But if I don't warn the ungodly, I am responsible. Have I warned you, unbeliever? Have I tried to comfort you, child of God? I tried to comfort myself. And how have I tried to do it? By simply reading and expounding Habakkuk 2, from verse 4 to verse 17. The word of the Lord has not failed. God will bring his purpose to pass.